I had something happen to me this week that I haven't talked about or shared with anybody, and even including my wife. But it was one of those things that when it was all said and done, I was pretty thankful to God for taking care of me and getting me through this situation. In fact, it was pretty much on my mind for a couple days. God is gracious. God is good. And sometimes we do stupid things in our lives, and we could pay a much higher consequence if not that God stepped in and takes care of us. Takes care of us in so many ways. But I was reminded about being thankful. And, you know, it's kind of a shame that we just talk about being thankful at Thanksgiving. And so I decided this morning to talk about being thankful. You know, all that God does, all that He has created, all that's happening in the world in which we live, all that God is involved in, His main thrust within this world that we live in is people, you and me. You know, I'm sure that He admires His creation that He created and put into place. And I'm sure that, you know, He probably is appreciative of everything, but when He loves, which is a very essential part of who God is, He loves people. He loves you, and He loves me. And that's just who He is. And I believe that a part of the reasoning of creation in God's mind was to be able to love, to express that love, and to express it to you and me. His love is not aimed at the beauties of nature, it is aimed at you. His marvelous grace is intended for you, not the trees. If we really stop and think about it, all the wonders and all that there is, we should become uncontrollably thankful in how God has created and put us here, but also in what He does and what He accomplishes within our life, both physically and spiritually. There needs to be a reminder like I had this week for us to be thankful. And in reality, I keep thinking there shouldn't have to be reminders. That should be just something that comes from us. Something's a part of who we are, but I'm afraid that we as people are sometimes a little slow. Remember the lepers that Jesus healed? How many were there? 10? How many came back and thanked Him? 1. I'm afraid that might be a little bit of a commentary on humanity. Sometimes we tend not to be too thankful. The doctor wrote a letter of thanks to a school teacher for having given him so much encouragement when he had been in her class 30 years before. He later received this reply, "I want you to know what your note meant to me. I am an old lady in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, seeming like the last leaf on the tree. You will be interested to know that I taught school for 50 years, and yours is the first letter of appreciation I have ever received. It came on a cold blue morning and cheered my lonely heart as nothing has cheered me in many years." I remember saying to a former pastor of mine, after he had helped me and actually Joni through a difficult time in our lives, I thanked him for his love for me and the input that he had put into our lives. And he said to me, "You know, nobody's ever thanked me before. Nobody's ever thanked me before." That's been a while back as well. In considering just what the problem might be, one of the conclusions that I come to, and it's not the only one, I don't believe, but one of the problems of our lack of being thankful, or at least as thankful as we should be, is a lack of, I believe, contentment. Being content with what God does give to us. And being satisfied. So oftentimes, there seems to be a pull for more and more. And I know that there's probably a thin line here between being content with what we have and yet setting goals and trying to be and to do and to accomplish what God wants us to do. We never are to fall back from that. God has created us to do certain things in this life. But there's also this area of contentment, and maybe it deals with different things, but this area of being content and being satisfied with what God gives to us. We're not as thankful as we could be because we are not really satisfied. Sometimes we're not satisfied with what we have. We want more, or we want better, or completely different. But we're not totally satisfied with where we are. A couple of verses. Let's look them up. Philippians chapter 4. There's just a number of places we could go. Verses 11 and 12. The apostle is speaking on the inspiration of the Spirit. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned that secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. It's kind of funny that those two verses precede verse 13, which many of us have memorized, or we see on plaques, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't matter how much I have or what I have, God allows me to do what He wants me to do in His power. It doesn't matter of how much is there for me to work with, at least in the material realm. Hebrews 13. That's the last book or chapter of Hebrews. 13:5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Be content. God is there. God will always love you and take care of you. He will never, even in the most dire of circumstances, dire times of your life, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content. Think with me for a moment. Back to the beginning. We read about in Genesis chapter 3 at the beginning the service this morning of Adam and Eve. They were created without sin. I think we can agree to that. They were created and put in an environment that was probably the best of any environment that was possible. They were in a special place, something that you and I have never experienced, at least physically. The origin of creation, we have not yet experienced what Adam and Eve had. The perfection, the greatness, all that there was available to them. They got to walk and talk with God. I pray about relationships. Talk about relationships. They had a physical, walking, talking relationship with God. They had, from our perspective, they had everything, right? They had everything. Yet we know the story well, how Satan convinced, first of all, Eve, at least, that they were missing something. Have you understood it in that way? He convinced her that they were missing something. Hasn't God ever, hasn't Satan or Satan's side ever convinced you that you were missing out on something? And call me crazy, but I believe that that's probably true. I know it's true for me. He convinced Eve that she was missing out on something. That there was something more that she could experience. There's something better for her to experience than what God was allowing her to have. And she became unsatisfied. She became, she ceased to experience the contentment that God had given to her and all that he had given to her and the contentment that would go along with that. There was something they didn't have that, yes, God was holding out on them. If it was possible for Eve, in that circumstance, in that condition, that place in her life, to become dissatisfied, is it not also very likely, very possible that you and I can become unsatisfied from time to time with our lives and what we have within our lives? In the physical realm, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. From Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus say in the physical realm? Matthew 6, 26 is where I would like to start. Just briefly here, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And it goes on, don't worry about what you eat. And so on and so forth. God will take care of you. He will take care of you. Certain basics that God has promised to his children. Here, food and clothing. I've always liked to add one. Shelter in the world in which you and I live. Shelter's kind of important for us. I mean, you could find a cave or something to get by with, of course, and you could get by. You could do that. But shelter is pretty important, and God has promised to supply these basic physical needs of our lives. That is a promise from him. 1 Timothy 6:8. See, I'll give you a little exercise this morning. 1 Timothy 6:8. Simple. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. I'm going overboard a little bit, huh? We understand. At least to a large degree. To be content means that we're satisfied. It means that we understand that God has given to us and is doing for us what is necessary in our lives. And anything beyond that is just gravy, whipped cream, however you want to refer to it. It's the added things that God also gives to us many times as well. He takes care of us. And sometimes there is so many things that it's hard to be content. We need to focus back to where God wants us to and understand that He will take care of us. He will take care of the necessities of life. And it's not just in the physical realm, but the spiritual as well. The really important things. Now, physical are important. It's good to eat. It's necessary to eat. It's necessary to be clothed. These things are necessary for us. But there's also the spiritual realm. What is in truly in value? Story of a young man who proposed marriage to a young woman. He gave her an expensive, beautiful diamond ring, enclosed in an attractive blue velvet box. You know how you get those little boxes that the rings come in? And they're very attractive, very nice. Following day after their engagement, the young woman said, "How can I ever thank you enough for the beautiful blue velvet box? I love it and I will always cherish it." A little silly, but try and think about sometimes in our lives how we get hung up on the blue velvet box and miss the diamond, the precious diamond inside. It's easy to do. Even though that's a silly story, it is something that we struggle with, even ridiculous to some degree. We spend a high percentage of our resources and time on something that will return to the dust, that will not stand the test of eternity, that will be burned up eventually. We neglect the gift of the diamond, which is our living eternal spirit and soul within us that has an eternal relationship with God. And we miss some of the most important things in our lives. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I don't even need to read verse 7. I don't even need to read the entire verse. But this is from God, so you are not lacking in any gift. God has given to us spiritually what we need. This is a group of people who were for the most part very immature in their faith. But yet God said, there's nothing lacking spiritually that I could give to you as a gift to you. First of all, the gift of your salvation. That's a pretty important gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is given to us as a gift to empower us, to guide us, to guard us, to lead us, to teach us just many things. And that's a gift that He gives to each one who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. He gives to us spiritual gifts. And I believe that that's a very much a part of this. In chapters 12, 13, and 14, He deals specifically with spiritual gifts. The ability that He gives to us to serve Him. And in the church setting, the gifts that come together to help us to be one, to help us to be a body, to do the functioning of the things within the church that need to be done, the ability to serve Him in different ways, in different capacities. These gifts, these spiritual gifts, are given to us to be able to serve Him. And He says, you, He doesn't say it like this, but I'll say it like this. You who are really immature and really are missing out on a lot of stuff, you lack nothing. I've given to you what you need. And I believe that that's true of you and me. In the spiritual realm, in the physical realm, He gives us what we need. So far, that has been true in my life. You know, there may have been times that I thought I needed something more. And there probably still will be times where I think that I need more. The reality is, nothing I need, but He does give me what I do need. In the spiritual realm as well, He has given to each one of us the gifts revolving around spiritual truth, the gift of the Spirit of God, and all that goes with that. All that's important, really important for us to do and to allow us to serve Him and to be what He wants us to be in this world in which we live. To strengthen the church, to strengthen each other, to be there for each other. A wealthy Englishman had added to his valuable collection a rare violin, which Fritz Kreisler, the celebrated virtuoso, greatly longed to possess. When the owner persisted in refusing to part with it, Kreisler began begged for permission to play it just once. That was granted. With trembling hands, the artist tuned the instrument and then played. He played as only a genius can play. I went online, and you can listen to him play on, what's that thing, YouTube? One of those obscure things. He was alive when some of us were alive. A great violinist. He forgot himself. He poured his soul into his music. The Englishman stood as one transfixed until the playing had ceased. And he did not speak until Kreisler had tenderly returned the instrument to the antique box, as a mother puts her baby to bed. "Take the violin," he burst out. "It's yours. I have no right to keep it. It ought to belong to the man who can play it as you did." Is that not true of our lives? They should belong to the one who knows how to use us and to play us by design, by creation, the best that we can be played, the best that we can be used in this life in which we live. To the person who has entrusted their lives to God through faith in Jesus Christ, to the Master Creator, there is nothing essential that God does not give to us that we might be played beautifully if we allow the Master to play. God not giving you what you need is never an excuse, because He will always give you everything that you need. And so within that, we should be content. We should be satisfied. And in being satisfied, we should always reverberate back the thanksgiving and the satisfaction of giving to God all the credit that is due to Him, and continually giving thanks. In everything, give thanks. It only leaves us if we understand this, to be satisfied, and being satisfied that our hearts might open up to truly be thankful for not only the basics of the physical realm, but also the spiritual realm as well. All the extras that God graciously gives is thrown on top, and He does that too. But may we be satisfied. May we, as Paul, say that whatever state that I am, to be content, that I am content. I've had it all. I've had very little. It doesn't matter. Where God puts me and what God is doing in my life is important, because God is there and He is doing it in and through me to accomplish His perfect will. May we be satisfied, and may we be thankful. Let's pray. Father, for these moments to share and to think and to be encouraged. I know that many times I do not stop and, as we're about to sing, count my blessings. I don't stop and just consider Your great work that has been accomplished and is continuing to be accomplished, that is in my life. When I look back and see what You've taken me through, I stand in amazement and can only be amazed if I see the reality every day that I live. Father, I just thank You for who You are and what You've done in my life. And I pray that as a church that we might be thankful, as individuals we might be thankful, that we would see You in all of Your goodness and majesty in every step that we walk upon the face of this earth. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.